Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
The message today is part two, taken from Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and also from Matthew chapter 6. This is Pastor Jonathan McLean. Before we go into that message that is in process, I want to remind you of the great importance of voting this season. As I look in the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This season, it seems that there are two primary agendas. One is a life agenda, one is a death agenda. And the Amendment 4 is definitely a pro-death agenda. There still are many in the body of Christ that have not yet made a decision to vote. Perhaps you haven't voted in years. This is an unusually unique and critical time for the body of Christ to be actively involved in voting our faith. German pastor Martin Niemöller openly spoke about his own early complicity in Nazism and his eventual change of heart. His powerful words about guilt and responsibility still resonate today. First, they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. This quote, first they came for, has been part of the permanent exhibition at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum since its opening in 1993. Initially, Niemöller's words were part of a text panel. Today, they are prominently featured on a wall as the final words of the exhibition. They serve as an indictment of passivity and indifference during the Holocaust. Let me remind you that the child in the womb has no one to speak for them other than those who will stand up and vote this election season. I encourage you to join me as I vote no on Amendment 4. A no vote on 4 is a vote for life, the life of the unborn child in the womb. Thank you for joining me now as we go into the morning message.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Whose kingdom come? Thy kingdom come, and whose will? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what about that? So I am to pray that God's kingdom come, and where is His kingdom? We're not talking about a physical, national kingdom. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom that is in the people of God at this time. The day will come when the kingdom will manifest and Jesus will set up His kingdom. But at this point, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. We are in the kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom. And so the prayer is, Jesus says, pray this way, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Where? Where? On earth as it is in heaven. So if it's God's will for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, we need to understand that if we have a different kingdom that's ruling and reigning, we are praying in direct opposition to that earthly kingdom. You realize that? Because Jesus instructed us to pray that we who are in the kingdom pray for the will of God to be done on earth, in the earth, as it is in heaven. Now, I'm sure you agree with me that in heaven, the war does not exist. Satan was thrown out of the heavens. The war is not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are not in war at war in the throne room because the enemy's been cast out. We're at war down here. This is where the war is. And so when we look at that and realize it is there, that is the prayer that Jesus sought. And his prayer is that we worship God, that we honor God, that we hallow his names, and that we call forth by faith to see the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven. This means when wickedness is being pushed in our face and pushed onto our kids, then we've got a problem. And we're praying directly against it that the will of God on earth will reflect what God's will is in heaven. I was with a pastor. He has a family that's recently come into the church with two young daughters. They're in school in St. Lucie County. They've been homeschooled all the way up into their high school years. In their classroom, they were just introduced to the restroom having a cat litter box for the kids that felt like they were a kitty. And so, for those who are exploring their alternative identities, this was established in the classroom restroom so that they had access to explore their identity. I said, this is happening right now in St. Lucie County. This is happening right now in St. Lucie County. And some may wonder why I take such a strong position against secular, worldly education is because it is not based upon the Word of God as being the foundation of all truth. And what is taking place in our schools is absolutely sickening to me. And I'm listening to this pastor, and he said, now I have these two families, their daughters are in school, they're very embarrassed, they're being exposed to things that they've never been exposed to, they've never been told they have to coexist with. Why should my children or your children have to coexist with evil on that kind of a level? And it's influencing us. I'm saddened to tell you that I have a sister from my father's second marriage who notified us that she is a man instead of a woman after two or three marriages, that she's going to marry a lady, that her daughter is a male. Don't think just because the world is doing it, it's not going to try to come into the church. It's in the church. What I'm being told is almost every congregation youth group now has one to two or more trans individuals that are promoting their rights. This is where we are as a nation. But we're here because we have neglected God in our nation. And just as I said last week, it goes back to the pastors who have backslid in our nation. And backslidden pastors go to conferences. They vote in backslidden rules and regulations. And then you end up with denominations that promote to their congregation perverted lies instead of the truth. And then you end up with communities and a nation that's going down the tubes. So what do we do? Well, we keep praying the Lord's Prayer and actively acting upon that truth. Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Again in America. Again to our churches. Again to our children. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we look at this truth and this reality and we see that there is a battle that's directly spiritual with the devil, and we don't wrestle with flesh and blood in a spiritual sense, it's all spiritual, but it manifests in the natural. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because many of you have faced this on your job. Just had a call the other day. Someone called in and said they keep cutting my hours back because I took a stand for truth in the marketplace. I was asked. I took a stand. And they keep reducing my hours. I can't survive on the amount of hours they're giving me. They're forcing this lady out of her job because of the stand she's taking. How long has it been? We can't forget. We just had COVID. And with COVID, people that were in the medical profession we're being told, either you take the jab and you follow our protocol, or else we're going to get rid of you. Thank God in our state we have a governor that did not kowtow to all the rest of the liberals across this nation. Thank God we have some leadership still that's standing in this state. But understand, the battle is waging in the state of Florida against righteousness and truth, and it's coming against us and coming after our kids. I guarantee you, the enemy is not going to be silent. So we have Jesus standing against the darkness in his day. There's so many scriptures. This passage we're looking at lays out when you are in a condition where you have godly governments and godly authorities. The authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who do wrong. So do what they say, you will get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you. When God's authorities are in office, they're sent to help you. But if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. So you must obey the government for two reasons: to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience. Now, if the government is corrupt and you stand in righteousness, you will be punished. But if you're going to have a clear conscience, you must stand for truth against a corrupt government. And so when you read this, somebody could read it and say, well, you have no right to stand against what's going on. In America, we have every legal right. We have no excuse. Many nations do not have the freedom that we have. So let me just drop a couple things, and we're going to bring this morning to a close. We're going to be looking at some of these issues from the Word of God, because it's so important that you are able to have truth to throw at the devil. When the devil says, you should not be standing, or when a relative says, you're crazy, you're a part of some kind of a bunch of lunatics, you're in a cult. Say, no, I'm not in a cult. It's the world that's out of order. The church, the true church, is not out of all order. We are the salt and we're the light, and we must keep standing. So I mentioned Moses. His parents had to rebel against the government in order for him to live. They had to break the law. And they did break the law. And God took care of them and protected them and protected their son while they broke the law of the government. What about the story of Daniel? And I'm just giving these as illustrations. There's not time to go to the passage this morning. But what about Daniel? You know, there's a mandate. You're not allowed to pray to anyone other than the king. What did he do? Just as his pattern, his habit had been, he opens the window. You know, he goes to the window three times a day and he prays toward Jerusalem, just as he had always done. It's against the law. It's against the leader's command. His life is put in danger. He's thrown into a lion's den, right? But Daniel was not going to, he was not going to change his stand with God to pacify the wicked leadership of his nation. And we're going to have to stand up. We're going to need to be in school board meetings. We're going to need to be in the local council meetings. Some of us that have never gone to anything like that, we've sat around and watched TV. Instead of getting out and taking a stand, I'm telling you, the church is going to have to get out and be in the marketplace, and we're going to have to take a stand if we expect to have a witness. Because the world is not coming into us. We're going to have to go into the world. The salt needs to get out of the shaker. We need to get out where the lost people are. And you know where they are? They're in the county commission meetings and the school board meetings. They are there every meeting. And they don't care what you think. They're going to say what they have to say. They're going to stand up. They're bold. They're going to study the issues. They're going to have notes. And they're going to come in and they're going to speak for their 3 minutes and they're going to let it be heard. And sometimes they'll come with another 25 or 50 just like them to stand up against the truth. And if we're not there, thank God for Chris Collins in the city. We need righteous commissioners We need righteous mayors. We need righteous school board members. We need righteous governors. We need righteous senators. We need righteousness in the marketplace. But in order for us to have that, we must have righteousness in the pulpit and in the house of God again. We must quit trying to dodge the issues, and we must lay it out just like it is. We are fighting for the life of our children and our families and for our nation. I don't know how much longer God can look at our planet and ignore what's going on. I don't know if you have thoughts like me, but when I'm in prayer and I'm reading in the Word of God and I'm reading through Ezekiel and I've read through the prophets and I'm reading how God said to Israel, enough is enough, I'm going to send in your enemies. And it happened time after time. And now we're in a new day because the Messiah is going to come back and the Messiah is going to awaken the hearts of Israel and the nation's going to turn back to God. But there's a lot of fighting between now and then. And it may be going on right now. We may be seeing a part of it. But I'll tell you this, I don't care how big the weapons and how smart they are, there will be no peace in the land of Israel until the Prince of Peace comes and the nation recognizes that Yeshua is the Messiah. In the meantime, we're simply protecting our boundaries temporarily, but there will be fighting until Jesus comes. And Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Young lady stepped into the office this week. My wife ended up coming just at the right time to see her as well. Longtime friend, sat in our services back 15 years ago or more. And she said, Pastor, do you see this as being the time? Are we in the midst of the end now? Are we there? Are we there? And as far as I'm concerned, we're there. As far as I'm concerned, we're there. Yes, we're going to build if Jesus helps us to build. We're going to lay up opportunities and facilities and tools for our sons and daughters to pick them up and run with them if Jesus tarries. But as far as I'm concerned, inside of my heart, there is a fervency. I believe that the time is so short that every one of us in this room ought to be filled with a holy, burning compassion and fire for our generation and to get the message out. Because what I see happening is total destruction. If God could not tolerate Sodom and Gomorrah, then how long can God tolerate the United States of America? If God could not tolerate what took place with the lifestyle of the wicked, and it was not just homosexuality, it also was being prosperous and ignoring the poor and the widows and failing to take care of their nation. But all of that together, if God could not tolerate Sodom and Gomorrah because there was a smell, a wicked odor that was being released into the heavens. Let me tell you, there is a wicked odor being released into the heavens from our nation this morning. Our nation is in a desperate place and we desperately need to be on our face before God, crying out for mercy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, O King, we know that our God is able to deliver us from your fire. But even if he doesn't deliver us from your fire, we want you to know something. We are not going to bend our knee and we're not going to bow down to you. Don't tell me that I have to bow down to a wicked, demonically inspired government that's turning against the righteous. That is not our foundation as a nation. And we need to stand up for what freedom we have left while we're here. I am mad at the devil. I'm not mad at you. But I am mad at the devil. And someone might say, Jonathan, you're talking to the choir. Well, maybe I'm talking to the choir, but I want everyone in the choir to make it to heaven. How about that? You know, I'm not speaking at United Methodist Church this morning or the First Baptist Church. I'm talking to Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. And what's on my heart is that every day that we prepare ourselves to live righteously and free and ready to meet the Lord. I believe the Lord is calling us to be awake, to have our lamps trimmed full of oil, and for us to be ready any moment to speak the Word of God or to meet the Lord in the air. I believe this is the message we must give. I hate to say this, but it's true. over my years of ministry, 15, 20 years ago, I was seeing things that I could not believe and I thought could never happen in America. But as Rachel and I have talked, my wife and I have talked about mom and dad and saying, I believe the Lord just took them home because they couldn't handle what's happening now. I believe God's taken some people home because of what we're going to face. And so for those of us that God has put on the planet right now, and God has given us a place to minister, a place to speak, then let's recognize that as the anointing of God for this very hour for us to stand up. This is our time. And God is going to give you the strength to stand wherever you are. You are not weak. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to fill you with an anointing. When the battle comes, when the enemy comes against you, God is going to anoint you and strengthen you so you know exactly what to do, just like Moses' parents did, just like Daniel did, and just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and just like the apostles and others. Father, I thank you for meeting with us this morning. I thank you, Father, that even in the midst of the darkness, our light, your light through your church, will be brighter and more brilliant because of the depth of darkness. Father, we are not afraid. We do not entertain a spirit of fear. We're not talking about being afraid. We're talking about being committed to the Word of God and committed to stand against the darkness. We recognize, Father, that there will be opposition. There will be opposition in all different areas. But you faced this before we did. And your word says, yes, in this world we will have trouble. In this world we will face demons. In this world, in our city, in our homes, in this generation, we will face the enemy in many different costumes. But Father, your word says, cheer up, for I have overcome the world. You have overcome the world, Father. And we rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Father, I pray that the state of Florida will be awakened, and that when it comes to election season, that we will be educated, we will know the deceptive plans of the enemy, and that we will be equipped to know how we should vote and stand in our nation. I pray against this Amendment 4 and the fact that it's going to open the doors to death in a greater way, a much greater way than we've ever had in our state before. I pray against this morning. And Father, I know if your church just wakes up, if just the church wakes up and says, no, we're not going to become a death state. We're not going to become a state where people travel from other states to come to Florida like they're doing right now. They're coming here for abortion because many other states have stronger laws than we have. Father, we repent of that great sin in our state. We repent for the great sin in our state, Father, where we have allowed so many lives to be taken. Father, I pray that you will raise up godly leaders in your church, that churches today, we as well, will experience the same thing we experienced during the worship time, where you begin to stir our hearts and you begin to quicken our minds and you begin to step in amongst us. We welcome you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to come and touch us, strengthen us, prepare us for this week, in Jesus' name.
As we close the program today, I want to encourage you again to make sure that you get out and vote. Let your voice be heard this election season. Edmund Burke is credited with saying something like this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Romans 12:21 tells us clearly, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I encourage you to make sure that you and your family and everyone that you can encourage gets out and votes this election season. Remember, the life of the unborn is on the line. Choose life. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the